Are there spirits lingering in the underground of Paris? Do people live where millions are buried? What monsters lurk in the pits of the earth? Today we test the believability of the catacombs of Paris.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That's right. Thank you for coming us on this French episode.
What did you say?
French?
No, before that.
Thank you for coming with us?
I think you say coming us.
Oh my. Thank you for coming with us.
Yeah.
On this French episode.
Yes. French toast, right? French toast. French fries.
French coffee.
French vanilla.
I love French vanilla.
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah. Sure.
I'm more of a mocha person myself.
So do you know this topic?
Yes and no. Not enough to do an episode on, obviously, so I'm glad I get to be in the passenger seat. I will say, though, a movie I really, really liked that wasn't great, but it was okay. I just enjoyed it. As Above, So Below. Did you see that movie? Pretty sure that's where this all takes place.
As they go it down is. There. But we talk about it.
Does that fit what people expect down there, or is that the movie taking its own liberties? Because I know for them in that movie, it was like you see like things from your past that haunt you.
Oh no, that's definitely liberties.
That's what I thought. Yeah, some of it was kind of crazy, but it made it for an entertaining film. I think it was 2014. I could be wrong.
So with that, let's start talking about these hollowed. I'm gonna stop trying to be poetic. Let's start talking about the French catacombs. So to start, we're going to go over the history. I know, the history.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Yeah, you had to. But the good news is it's not a lot.
That's the best type of history, is short history.
So starting in the late 18th century.
Oh, okay. Yeah, not that long ago.
Yeah, a concern swept over the city of Paris. And that concern was disease and overcrowding of dead bodies.
I bet the funeral homes were like, okay, put that cha-ching noise in here. Yeah, there it is. You hear it.
Yeah, the graveyards were actually becoming overcrowded. So King Louis the 16th, I think, he decided to dig these huge trenches underground, under the city. And in 1875, they started to transfer over bodies from these overpopulated cemeteries. And 1814 is when the 6 million bodies actually finished getting transported there. So it took that long. I don't know how many years that is, but it's a fair amount of time.
Wow, that's a lot of bodies, man.
6 million.
Wow.
The extent of the catacombs are really mind-blowing. It's huge.
Does it go throughout the entire city?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's big.
Is it something that just the average person can you like tour it, or is it something that is kind of off limits?
Yes and no. So let me finish up with history, and we'll touch that.
I'm just trying to bypass that.
Oh, just trying to go past history.
Yeah,
it's really interesting.
I'm swiping left on you. Is that actually? I don't. Is that
Tinder? Is that no? I used Tinder for a minute.
Is that no?
Yeah, left is no. Right.
Yeah, I'm
just
swiping left on.
The people after the French Revolution in France continued their interest in
dead bodies.
Yeah, pretty much. And some people, they went into the catacombs, and from 1840 to 1860, they began to rearrange how the bodies were laid into stacks to make it more organized. And they finished in the 1860s-ish.
It's like a catacomb interior designer. Find that Indeed job listing.
That's exactly what happened, though. Like they rearranged it so it was more aesthetically pleasing.
Do you have a great eye for dead bodies and no sense of smell? Must be bilingual.
So, actually, the catacombs were open to the public in 1809, and you can book an appointment to go down there. And in 1860, Napoleon III took his son into the depths. And you can still go down into the catacombs today. You can buy a ticket, and you can go down there. However, a lot of the catacombs are restricted. Like, you shouldn't go down there. Like, they're There's like signs saying, don't go down here.
So, but is there a tour guide or is it self-tour?
No, there's a tour guide.
Gotcha. So is it just in case you leave the tour or if you sneak down there, I wonder?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You can get to the catacombs through some of the sewers in Paris.
Yeah. That's how they, yeah. That makes sense. So let, think about this really quick. And this has nothing to do with what you're talking about, but I just, for some reason, my history made me think about it. So you were saying in the 1800s, they had to book a tour?
Yeah, 1809.
Imagine that process. Because you can't call. You don't do it online. You have to physically go there and tell them, I will come back at a later time. and then leave and then come back.
You could probably send a letter, I'd assume.
Oh, you send a letter snail mail. And it's like, in 3 weeks. I guess you buy concert tickets now that are months and months away. It's just funny because like the convenience factor of booking, you book on your phone now in like 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
You had to physically go there to book for a later. Imagine going to a restaurant now. Be like, I'd like to reserve for 7 o'clock in 3 hours or, you know, tomorrow. Anyways, life is really easy. Go ahead.
Okay. So that, like I said, the history is light. That's all I really wanted to touch on.
Thank God.
So let's talk about the conspiracies.
Mm.
The conspiracies of the underground.
Are they as thick as French bread?
Yeah, I'd say so. They're pretty.
I like me some French bread pizzas, like the Stouffer's. I grew up on that, man.
Yeah, they're good. They're good. So this first conspiracy is that there are people living in the catacombs.
Like squatters?
Yeah, just like squatters. And I have this story from 2004. It's called Don't Search.
That's 17 years ago.
Yes.
That's disgusting.
In 2004, a group of police officers were exploring a part of the Paris catacombs that were restricted from public access and began to uncover very strange things. They found a PA system with pre-recorded guard dogs barking and 3,000 square feet of galley space wired with phones using pirated electricity and several communal spaces, including a bar, living area, workshop, lounge, and even a 20-seat cinema. The cinema seats were covered in the stones of the catacombs. The creepiest part was that the cameras mounted on the ceiling that were recording them. A few days later, the police squad returned to perform further investigations on their findings. Everything they had discovered, from the phone lines to the Paris catacomb cinema, had vanished. They found a note written in French that translated to, don't search.
I actually heard this before. I've read that.
You've heard that story?
Yeah. It doesn't feel that far-fetched at all.
It doesn't. And that's what's really crazy. Like, how many people do you think live down there?
I feel like outside of just living, it could be like people just have a hang spot. You know what I mean? Like, ooh, we snuck down to the catacombs and every Friday we watch a terrible B-rated horror movie. That's what I would do. But you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't feel...
Oh, the part about workshops, that's what's really getting me.
The workshops?
Yeah, like they have like their own like traders, like trade spots, like where they do crafts and stuff.
Undergroundcrafts.com. .net. They probably have a .net. I mean, it's weird. It's a little creepy, but it doesn't feel far-fetched because it seems like a great place to squat. Not because it's like nice or anything, but just because it's so massive.
Yeah, it's, you know, huge. What I mean? Like, it's, no one's ever going to find you.
Yeah, so...
So my question is, do you think they took everything and moved to another part of the catacombs?
I mean, I have no idea. I would assume so. I don't think they would give up something that good unless they just look back on it. Like, well, it was a good run. And maybe like at that point, you can just cut it and say like, okay, we got away with it and leave it at that. If they're like thrill seekers and you know, they feel confident in what they're doing, then they could probably just move it somewhere else. But now they're probably 17 years later, they probably got jobs and kids and midlife crisis and bought a really nice car and then sold a really nice car. And now they're probably not even thinking about the catacombs. That's just my guess.
Unless there's more people living down there.
Oh, I'm sure there are people. There's somebody probably living. I hope in a perfect world that there is somebody in the catacombs listening to this episode right now.
I hope so, too. I don't think they get internet, though.
You don't think so?
No.
Maybe they brought down one of those like Wi-Fi things where it's a strength boosting, blah, blah, blah.
Signal booster.
Yeah. I hope they brought one of those down there. Imagine playing the audio on like a speakerphone and like the echoes in the catacomb.
That'd be scary.
Mm-hmm. Or bringing in guitar down there.
That'd be really cool, actually.
Like playing in like a bridge. You know, if you've ever been in there, I've never played guitar in a bridge, but under, you know what I'm talking about? Where it's I guess that's a tunnel. You're in a tunnel. But yeah, I think it's totally plausible for sure. It's huge. I don't see why people, I mean, people are curious. People like exploring. It makes sense to me.
So what exactly is inside of the catacombs besides
dead bodies?
Besides the dead bodies.
Squatters. Cops looking for squatters. I can go on.
So, like we said, there's 6 million. Now, with that, there are reports of people seeing shadow figures, orbs, being touched, and even people saying things, disembodied voices. Although, none of them are really malicious. And that's something to point out. That none of these spirits that have been seen, no one's really been negatively affected.
It seems based on just, like, if you believe in, like, energy and things like that. And it's like, with 6 million bodies, I mean, you have cemeteries that are anticipated to be haunted with probably, like, 300 bodies. So, obviously, somewhere that has 6 million. Now, it's spread out over a whole city. So, I guess there's some groundwork there. But it would totally make sense that there would be some energy there.
Yeah. And that's totally true. That's exactly what you'd think. With those bodies, there's got to be some kind of paranormal activity. But this next part is 100% true.
Was everything else bullshit that you told me prior to right now, or?
There could be wiggle room.
Wiggle room?
I was going to cut that, but now I have to keep it.
Yes.
There could be some wiggle room in there, but this is not. This is, like, reported. In 2017, two teenage girls, got lost in the catacombs for 3 days.
So did they sneak down there or did they escape their tour guide?
They snuck down.
Mm.
But they were found 3 days later, alive, malnutrition, but alive. You're going to kick out of this. With dogs. They were found with dogs.
Wait, the dogs found them or they found dogs?
The dogs found them.
Okay.
Search dogs.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So the dogs came through for like the first time. What? I don't know. I don't know what episode we were talking about that.
Missing.
Missing 411?
Yeah.
All right. Well, They found the girls in the catacombs. Good job, dog. You're back on the force.
I didn't really get kicked off. So those that do explore the catacombs illegally and go down with groups, they're called cataphiles.
Wait, was that the true story? That girls got lost and then found by dogs?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's all it was.
I was waiting for...
No, there's no big event. Just these girls got lost.
Did they say anything about their experience when they were down?
They haven't yet, but I was looking for it. I'm excited. I don't know if they ever will. But
okay. Okay.
But they say of these cataphiles, they go exploring these caverns, that after hours of the...
That's what they call themselves?
Cataphiles, yeah.
Is that on Indeed?
What? I don't think it's a job.
I'm not looking for a job. They're falling in my lap.
But they say that if you're down there past normal touring hours, even some during normal touring hours, if you go deep enough into the catacombs, you start to hear these voices. And these voices urge you to go deeper and deeper into the catacombs.
Which way is deeper?
Which way is deeper?
Yeah, like, no, like, do they mean further from the Eiffel Tower? Do they mean more down?
They mean further away from where you came in, making you become lost.
Man, they got some architect ghosts up in there. And by normal hours, is it, like, assumed that, like, from 9 to 5, the ghosts are out chilling, and then after 5 o'clock, it's like, all right.
I think it's from like 9 to like
it's 7. It's spooking time.
Like 9 to 7, they're like, it's day.
Yeah.
I think. Because they don't know, because they're underground.
It fits the human narrative of like, you know, nighttime, spooky, alone. Yeah.
You know what's cool though? There are parts of the catacomb that are completely like visible from the, like, you can look down and it's the catacombs. Like exposed to
the
elements.
From like the ground?
Yeah.
Like ground level, you can look down and...
Yeah, it's like open.
Hmm.
Is that neat?
That would be the safest way to experience the catacombs, I assume. Are there lights down there? Have they put like electricity and lighting or?
Yeah, there's lights.
Okay.
And parts. Parts that are lit.
The parts where they encourage you to leave and go deeper. They're like the closer parts have lights, the deeper part, you know, there's ghosts and stuff.
There are also some parts of the catacombs that are flooded.
Oh.
Like they're flooded with water. Like you have to wade through water to get through.
Oh, that sounds soggy.
I wouldn't.
It's underwater level like, shit. I'm down. Water. I mean, I'm not down. It sounds disgusting. Sorry, you were talking about the kryptonites or the cryptophiles.
Kryptonites?
Yeah. I don't know. What were they? The
cryptophiles.
Cryptophiles.
Yes. So this is the part of the story I was talking about where we get to as below, so below.
As above, so below.
Yeah, there it is. Okay.
Maybe 2014, maybe not. Maybe 2016, I don't know.
So this by far is one of the creepiest Paris catacombs legend. It comes in the early 1990s. A group of cataphiles were walking through the dark chambers of the cemetery. They happened upon a video camera on the ground. To their surprise, the camera had footage on it. As the group watched the footage, they heard disturbing noises. It became apparent that the man holding the video camera was lost and had no idea how to escape. In the video, the audience can clearly draw that the man is going mad inside of the underground network. The video ends abruptly with the man dropping the camera to the ground. To this day, no one knows who this man was or if he came out alive. Many believe that the movie, As Above, So Below, was inspired by this story.
I can see that. It has very Blair Witch feel to it as well. Dude, that's a great marketing tactic. We should totally, like, go leave a camera down there and, like, put, like, red paint on it to make it look like blood, freak people out, and then they watch it, and it's just, like, us doing an episode. Or, like, put, like, something down there, like an audio recorder, and they're like, the first 30 seconds are, like, really scary. We're like, I'm down here, I'm hearing voices, and then it's like, on this week, Believing the Bizarre. Great marketing approach. I like it.
You can find the video footage.
Oh, really? Is it on YouTube?
Yeah.
Are you going to share it in our Facebook group that you can join by going to Facebook and searching Believing the Bizarre discussion group and then hitting join, and then we'll allow you to join it?
If you're on there, you will see this video.
Ooh, I'm excited. I'm on there, so I'm going to see it.
So that's the whole inspiration for the movie.
Is that the supposed, or is that the inspiration?
It is the inspiration.
Oh, okay.
I know that the article said supposed, but it was. So this next creepy story is about Philbert Asprey, and he was a man.
Okay.
End of story.
Philbert.
So Philbert was working as a doorkeeper on the...
I thought you said dork. No. Like a dorky. He was a man and he was a dork.
He was a doorkeeper at the Val de Guerres Military Hospital during the French Revolution when he mysteriously went missing in 1793.
People started to have to open the door themselves. They're like, well, this is weird.
Where's the guy?
They didn't notice him for a couple of days until they just realized that opening the door is a hassle.
But his disappearance was not solved until many years later, until his body was found in the catacombs in 1804, a full 11 years later.
Did they like test the body? Because I guarantee he would have decomposed by then, right? So it's not like you could just look at him and be like...
Right, they identified it with his keys.
He had really nice cheekbones.
No.
And it's definitely the skeleton of a man and a doorkeeper. So it's likely
and him. A dork too, kind of.
Yeah, he had a door in his hand. He took the door with him to the catacombs.
Oh, man. So it's thought that Philbert went down the stairs of the catacomb one day where he lost the light and could not find the way out. And he died slowly and alone in complete darkness. It is not known why he went, but some think it was to find drinks, like alcohol. It's an unfortunate fate, as Philbert was only a few feet away from a staircase.
Where they found really?
The yeah.
Oh, no. That makes it seem more suspicious, though.
It
like,
does.
It's scary on its own. The idea of, like, it even outside the paranormal, like somebody going somewhere that's creepy and unsettling, getting lost and then dying. Paranormal, everything aside, that's sad and terrifying.
Yeah.
But the fact that he was near stairs and still kind of perished down there, interesting.
Some people speculate he was murdered. He's actually featured in a video game.
What game?
Assassin's Creed Unity.
Oh, I don't play any Assassin's Creed.
I play a lot of them, but I didn't play that one. Oh. But it's interesting that, I mean, they do a lot of stuff like that and they add their own twists on it.
Mm-hmm. I know that much at least.
But anyway, not much was found of Philbert when he was finally found in the tunnel in Gennevilliers outside of Paris. But the buttons on his jacket and the key ring was enough to identify him as the doorman.
Oh, well, that's okay.
Yeah. His remains were buried where they were found in a small personal tomb. The stone's grave markers roughly translate to, in the memory of Philbert Asprey, lost in the excavation of the 3rd of November, 1793. Found 11 years later and buried at the same place on April 30th, 1804.
They said lost during excavation.
Mm-hmm.
It's polite of them if he's looking very for alcohol.
Yeah.
He was the doorkeeper, but not the stairmaster. That's sad.
So that's like one of the places people visit when they go to the catacombs.
Has anybody ever said to like feel his presence or anything like that?
I did a lot of digging. There's very few stories.
Mm-hmm.
It's said that he's kind of mischievous, like he'll either like blow out candles or he'll be like play little pranks on you, but he ultimately is a good person, good spirit, and he helps people find their ways out. of the catacombs if they're lost. Exactly.
So how does he whisper in their ear? Take a left.
I don't know how he would do that. Maybe he picks up like a skeleton arm and like points it.
I doubt that's what's happening.
Probably.
I don't believe that he helps people find their way out, but it is what it is.
Some people even question now if Filbert was even like a real person, but he's kind of become like this patron saint of urban explorers or cataphiles. So like we're going to get lost. I hopefully don't get lost. Help us, Filbert.
6 million people in there, and Filbert's the one getting all the credit.
He wasn't even moved to be there.
Yeah, he just stumbled in.
So what other things could be in the catacombs besides spirits? Maybe the things whispering and telling people to go further are not spirits. Maybe they're monsters. Now, I have a story from Reddit. I'm going to be totally transparent. I don't think I believe it.
But we're here for entertainment.
Yeah. This reminds me of the story from the woods that you read.
Which one?
From, I can't say it. The Suicide Forest.
Okihara?
Yes. This reminds me of that story at the end there.
The long one.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
And it's from a Reddit user, Baby Bubbles.
Baby Bubbles?
A lot of credit there. Yeah.
Shout out, Baby Bubbles.
But it's titled, I Want to Leave Paris. Please forgive me in advance. I am not a writer, and I don't usually know how to use Reddit, but my brother loves it and has told me to post. I am 21, female. I was raised in England, but am living in Paris. I speak fluent French because my father is a Frenchie. That's what she said. When I moved out here at the age of 19, I desperately needed a job. I would spend hours and hours going through local bakeries searching for job ads, but nothing seemed to come up. One day I noticed an ad staring.
This all ties into the Indeed, by the way. Just throwing that out there.
It does.
This is an episode sponsored. Well, no, ZipRecruiter, right?
ZipRecruiter.
The best place to find a job in 24 hours guaranteed, or you've all heard ZipRecruiter.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sean.
One day I noticed an ad stating that people were needed to patrol the catacombs of Paris. So I was kind of hesitant, but it was creepy and I hate that kind of stuff, but I was skeptical anyway. And I needed money. Paris rent and prices were higher back then. So anyway, I interviewed, passed, and began my job, which was basically to help maintain the area of the catacombs that were closed off to the public. Of the 200 miles, and only 1 mile is open for people to visit. But the rest needed to be somewhat maintained to make sure that nothing collapses, etc. Another worker, Valentin, introduced himself to me on my first day and said that he was assigned to train me on what my job was. A lot of it involved cleaning graffiti off walls, making sure there were no leaks, and that the walls were in good condition. No risk of collapsing. Overall, my job covered roughly 5 miles of the catacombs, that area closest to the public. Something important to note is that once you leave the public area, it is very easy to get lost. If you're not careful, you could turn the wrong way and never find your way out, and you're on your own. Therefore, French health and safety laws state that I must attach myself to a rope at the front door of my worksite to help me find my way back at the end of my shift. Once my training with Valentin was finished, he returned working to the public areas. Before he left, though, I remember him saying,
"Watch yourself in these tunnels, okay? Don't forget, you're a trespasser here."
Weird, but whatever. I actually surprised myself by not actually finding it that weird, being surrounded by millions of human bones day in and day out. I got into a niche routine, arriving at 9 a.m., descending into the tunnel, my MP3 player, packed lunch, warm coat, and thick boots. There was actually a lot to do that kept me occupied, and I didn't have much time to think about where I really was. Until one day, it started as a typical day. I turned up in the morning and went to my tunnel. I know that sounds weird. Attached myself to an incredibly long rope and entered, pulling the door closed behind me so the public couldn't enter. I had a heavy-duty flashlight that became my best friend, and with it, I set off to inspect a leak I had discovered the day before. Headphones in and music blaring, I started my journey, which would end almost at the end of my work zone. I got about 1.5 miles and I paused my music. In the sudden silence, I could hear Valentin calling my name. Shit. I hope he hadn't been looking for me for long. I turned around to reply and heard in his direction why I noticed something, that the rope had been cut. There is no sign of it anywhere. Crap. Crap, crap, crap. I called out to Valentin in a panic, desperately, hoping this was some kind of sick joke he was playing on me. After the fifth time I said his name, I was greeted with laughter. A lot of laughter. From a lot of people. came out of nowhere. It filled the whole space, and I ran in a blind panic in the direction I had originally came in. I dropped my MP3 player, but not giving a damn, I ran for what felt like forever. The sound of laughter surrounding me, almost chasing me, but I knew I couldn't stop. After running for must have been like 20 minutes, I rounded a corner and stopped dead in my tracks. My MP3 player was laying in the middle of the path where I had dropped it 20 minutes before. This wasn't possible. I had run in the same direction and definitely didn't do a circle. These tunnels don't work like that. I slowly approached the player, my breath caught in my throat. I almost reached it when the laughter stopped suddenly, and a sound behind me made me turn around. I turn, and I am faced with something that I still feature in my dreams today. A thin, long creature was approaching me from the shadows, contorting its body, almost dancing across the pillars of bone stacked against the walls. I couldn't move. I felt like it was literally glued to the spot, staring at this thing. Its naked body was impossibly pale. It had a head full of black, soggy hair. Its eyes were white and void of any detail, and it was grinning. It was grinning at me in a way I knew it was out to hurt me. The closer it got, the louder the sounds it was making were. It wasn't Valentine whispering my name. It was this thing. It was chanting, faster and faster, with every move it makes, until its nose is pressed to mine. I woke up in a hospital, surrounded by worried faces. My parents had flown over from England with my younger siblings. Apparently, the other workers in the catacombs got alerted when I didn't clock out of my shift that evening. When they went down to investigate, they found a door to my tunnel wide open and the rope severed next to it. A huge search party was launched, and they found me 75 miles away, unconscious and covered in a weird, black, tar-like substance. When one of our big bosses of the catacombs spoke to me with the police to find out what could have happened, I mentioned for the first time that I heard a voice that I thought could have been Valentine. I was met with a confused face. Apparently nobody worked there who was named Valentine. They asked around the team and nobody had shown me around on my first day or trained me up. They all assumed my team member had done it. By my team member, I mean the person who was supposed to work with the tunnel, as per health and safety rules. However, upon research, they discovered that nobody had actually been assigned to work with me. I should have never been alone in those tunnels. I don't know what happened that day. I haven't been back since. Apparently, whenever maintenance is needed, they now send a team of at least 15 people to do it. One thing that still worries me to this day is I know I closed the door behind me when I entered the tunnel. The other workers found it open. For the past 5 nights, I have been woken up to the sounds of laughter outside my bedroom window and the sounds of my name being chanted hungrily. All right, so Tyler, that was a story that I found about the catacombs, and I just want to say it was interesting.
Baby bubbles?
Baby bubbles.
Yeah.
With that, I'd like to head to the discussion. Before we get to the discussion, obviously, we have to thank our new patron, our new supporter on Patreon, because we appreciate the heck out of you.
The heck.
The All heck of out it. Of you.
Yes.
So thank you so much, April Goldman. It means a lot to Tyler and myself that you have taken the time to
support the podcast.
Thank you.
Yes. And also, remember, for the month of July, which is about 5 days or so left.
That's it.
Anyone that is in or joins the dedicated tier, you get our bee leaving the Bizarre design, which is a cool bee with a UFO creeping on them. You can see that on Instagram. And if you join that tier, you automatically get the shirt. No extra cost. It's just going to be sent your way. Some people have already been getting it and have been posting about it on Instagram and Twitter.
It looks good. No matter who you are, it looks good.
It looks really good. So keep the post coming. If you get it and you rock it, we'll share it. So to send us your pictures. Tons of other Patreon content, but we'll get to that later. I'm assuming back to the discussion.
Let's go back to the discussion. So before we talk about these things, right, these interesting catacomb-y things, I do want to point out I did take some articles from Spookist and the tour guide that were talking about Filbert and the videotape.
Got you. They should do the breakfast cereal, the honeycombs, but the catacombs.
Oh my God, that makes so much money. Like a pop-up store that makes so much money.
It's just all this dust comes out. Oh. Like the marshmallows are little skulls and like finger bones.
That'd be great. Anyway, Tyler, what do you think about the catacombs? Do you think that they're haunted? Do you think there's something lurking inside of them besides dead bodies?
Let me tell you this. I think that they could be haunted because I believe in ghosts and there's 6 million people down there. But I will say that nothing that was said today makes me believe that it's haunted. I just already kind of buy into it anyway, just because of my beliefs. The doorman thing is interesting and could hold some weight. I do believe he went down there and got lost and then died. The Reddit story, which I want to spend some time talking about because it was so long and we haven't gotten to it yet. I want to talk about that. But, I mean, nothing swayed me. If I came into this episode not believing it was haunted, I would still feel that way. I came into it already believing it was haunted, and I still do.
Let me tell you really quick. Here's why I don't believe it's haunted by any significant ghosts or spirits.
Significant?
I mean...
You're just a doorman.
I mean, beyond just, like, shadow figures.
Yeah, no, just those basic-ass shadow figures.
I searched for hours for any kind of evidence of someone having any kind of interaction with Philbert's spirit. Beyond just the legend, like, they say he blows out your candles. Like, yeah, okay, that's what they say, but no one has, like, this happened to me. I saw it. That doesn't exist. The camera is rumored, obviously. I don't know if it's true.
Well, you found, you saw the video.
Yeah, you see the video.
So you're saying it could be fake.
Some people might think it's fake.
It's got, like, George Clooney on it.
There's credits. No one, there's not a lot of personal encounters with spirits in the catacombs. There's not, you can't find anything online, like, I was there. I witnessed this. You go ahead.
It just feels like it should be haunted, I guess. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like
does.
You see a cemetery and you're like, it's probably haunted.
It's a giant cemetery.
Yeah,
too.
It's like a 6 million person cemetery. It's probably haunted. It's not like, and you know, it sucks because like sometimes we're really critical of things and this one just totally gets the benefit of the doubt. But it's like, considering you and I already enter this territory believing in ghosts, it's hard to imagine 6 million people. Although I guess, My counter argument would be the fact that they didn't die there. They died elsewhere and then they were brought to the catacombs. So maybe the energy didn't transfer with the bodies. That's, I guess, a scenario. I'm not saying I believe that. I'm just playing devil's advocate to the idea that it should be haunted. Like if they didn't die in there, maybe that's why the doorman, that guy is so important in these stories because he's someone who actually died in the catacombs rather than have their body transferred.
Yeah. And it feels like we had a ringer. This is going to be obviously believable and it struck out. I feel like there should have been so much more compelling evidence.
Yeah, I'm giving it a viable. And we still have a lot of shit to talk about, but I'm just going to throw this out there right now that I'm going to give it a viable just because it's a benefit of the doubt viable.
I'm not sure where I'm at, to be honest with you. I'm not sure where I'm at
yet. Let me ask you a question because you brought it up and now it's in my head. So you're alone in this scenario, no matter what. It's you alone in, let's say, 4 hours.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Would you rather go in the catacombs deep, whatever that means, deep in the catacombs for 4 hours alone? Or would you rather go in Okihara 4 hours alone? Off the trail.
Oh my gosh. That's a terrible question.
I ask the big questions. I'm believing the bizarre.
I think I'd rather go in the forest.
I would go in the forest if I could stick to the trails. Because I would almost assume that I would see other people maybe on the trails.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't feel as alone.
Off trail, though. That'd be scary.
No, that'd be terrible. I mean, I wouldn't want to do either.
No, I wouldn't either.
If I couldn't do either. You know what that, and you know, so can we talk about the Reddit story now?
Yeah,
I mean,
let's talk
even
about the
if it's absolute bullshit, it was very interesting. In terms of what this kind of narratives that you find on Reddit, I thought that was really entertaining.
I did too. Like, I did too. If it was real, Jesus, I'm sorry.
It feels very theatrical.
It does.
Or dramatic, I guess. Not dramatic in like, oh my God, but like, you know, the twist about Valentine, or whatever, that was a great twist. Like, that is good. Like, the right, and we won't talk about like the prose or anything but the writing of that, of the story element of like that twist, because I wasn't expecting that.
Right, you know, I wasn't either.
I was expecting the Valentine found her and then brought her. So wait, another thing.
Yeah.
Well, let me say this first. The rope idea is one, very smart, and two, that would drive me crazy. Could you imagine walking around having a rope around you at all times?
I don't think. I think if it's just hooked to your back, I don't think it'd be that bad.
It reminds me of the Stephen King miniseries Rose Red.
I haven't seen it.
Love it. 2002. Amazing. It doesn't look as good as it did back in 2002, but you know, but there's a part where they do that in the house, cause the house moves and changes.
Oh yeah.
And they're like fall, they're like pulling it, walking, retracing their steps, and they find it in the middle of a wall.
Oh no.
Like that creepiness. So that's what that made me think of. But did she say that they found her 75 miles?
75 miles away from where she was supposed to be. A 1.5 miles where she started. And then to 75 miles later.
All I could think about is the corporateness of it. Is like the only reason they searched for her is because she didn't clock out. And they're like, this bitch isn't getting overtime.
I know.
No, she needs to clock out.
I thought that too.
I know corporate's going to come after us. She's not getting time and a half on our dime. But the Valentine thing and him not being real.
That was a good twist.
Although it's like, how do they not know that she's assigned with somebody?
I was thinking that too. I was like, well, how does that work? If they're corporate enough to go search for her because she didn't clock out, they probably have that kind of locked up.
So let's pretend this is real for at least 30 seconds.
Okay, deal.
What do you think it was that she claimed to see? Let me ask you this to narrow it down. Is it more demonic territory or is it more like creature cryptid territory?
I would guess it was more of like a creature, like a ghoul or something like that.
Was that, it wasn't spelled out, I guess, but it was it anticipate that that creature was Valentine?
I think it was because it can mimic its voice. I think it can be some kind of shape changer.
Hmm.
I think that's what it's implied.
It would hold so much more weight if one other person or story involved a creature like that.
It would. Yeah, I know. I didn't find anything else. This is the only thing that talked about that kind of thing.
And even if it didn't have this like detail of paranormal stuff in it, you'd think that there'd be like a news article or a police report about girl goes missing, found 70 plus miles from her starting location, sent to hospital, medical record.
You'd think. Or it's a cover up. So that, anyway, I'm pretty sure that's not real. But it's a damn good story.
Yeah, very entertaining. And that's, I mean, until we get to the discussion, it's just, there's no filter. Just like throw all the crap in there. And then that's why the discussion exists. So we can sift through the shit.
Yeah. So I hate to do this, but I think I go with skeptical. I don't know how haunted this catacombs actually are.
You think there would be more stories. I don't know how often people are actually down there. And I don't know how often people are actually down there alone.
I think that's not often.
I think it's also the idea of it. It's like, it's not like it's a random basement in some building. It's a catacomb. It's basically a big tomb. There's 6 million bodies there. Mm-hmm. It's dark. It has every box you want to check for a terrifying experience.
Yeah.
I'm surprised there's not more horror movies about it.
I am too.
Because I didn't know about it until As Above, So Below.
Yeah. I'm just surprised there's not more actual people saying, I saw this here. There's not.
Yeah, if anybody has experiences or knows people who've had experiences, send them our way, because it's definitely interesting. And like I said, I'm still going viable, because I think it just has the components to be haunted. And there are some experiences, obviously, that were discussed on this podcast about people experiencing things. Not enough to go believable, but I'll give it, at the very least, a viable benefit of the doubt.
So thank you for joining us again on this episode of the Catacombs of Paris.
I like this episode a lot because there's a lot of discussion to it.
Yes, there is. There has to be.
Yeah, it's not talked about a lot, or at least from what I've seen, but it's known.
Right, yeah, everyone knows about it, but no one's really talked about it.
I think, and that could totally be because it's not actually haunted.
I think so.
But it's I feel like it's more the idea of it than what it is.
It's very grandiose.
You just expect it. It's huge, tomb, millions of bodies, spooky setting. It's probably haunted. And maybe it's not. And it's just, you know, it just feels like it should.
I think very minor spirits at the very most. Just like, just some shadows. Just kind of.
Yeah. But it's crazy because, and I feel like we keep drawing this parallel. But if you look at like Okihara, the Suicide Forest.
Yeah.
That has so many stories, so many experiences, so mm-hmm. many people saying it's haunted. A whole, you know, the whole country just owns the fact that it's haunted.
Yeah.
I guess that's tied to the suicide though. So I guess that's different where people are going, you know, drawn to commit suicide there.
That's true.
But still, you would think where that has the suicide background, the Catacombs of Paris has the 6 million bodies.
Yeah.
So maybe that is what they're holding on to. And they're like, oh, it must be haunted because, and it just doesn't hold the weight.
Yeah, just the vast numbers. But yeah, like you said, it doesn't hold the weight. There's no one.
How often are people alone, I wonder, in the catacombs if they don't sneak? And maybe the people that sneak don't come back. So instead of leaving a review this time, I recommend sharing the podcast with a friend. Just say like, hey, so-and-so friend of mine, you should check out Believing the Bizarre. But don't share with people who don't believe in ghosts and stuff, because then they won't like it. You know, everybody's got that one or two friend where they're like, yeah, I believe in that stuff. Or at least I'm at least skeptical about it. Share with them. But so instead of leaving a review, I think that's the request this week. Tell a friend. Tell a friend to tell a friend.
Yeah, word of mouth is the best kind of marketing.
Or do that note where it's like passing. It's like, do you want to hear a paranormal podcast circle one, yes or no?
That'd be fun. And if you're liking the content, obviously we talked about it a little bit already. We have our Patreon where we have games and quizzes and theatrical readings and, you know, all that kind of fun
listener
stuff.
Listener submission interviews, because you know we do listener submission episodes. We interview those folks that are interested and get back to us on our Patreon for more of a deep dive on their experiences. So if you're interested in that, go to patreon.com and search Believing the Bizarre. So thank you so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are.